Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Perigin and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the It Just Means Less podcast. I'm your host, Wells Perigin, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman. Today is a special episode, Season 6, Episode 1, and it are SEC record predictions. But Jacob, I got to ask, like I always do, how are you today?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
I wish it was this time tomorrow and I would be done with finals, but been in the library for about 17 hours the past 2 days. So I'm excited to talk some hoops and not some contracts right now.
Yeah, I understand. Committed to the grind of It Just Means Less. I appreciate that. So
for sure. I mean, I had to take time out to get all our 20 listeners to know what we thought about was going to happen in the SEC basketball season.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at it from, from obviously no conference games yet, man, it's not a bad year to be in the SEC, right? I mean, the worst team right now is at 6-3, and that's South Carolina. And what they, they're not great, lost an opener to North Florida, but I mean, outside of that, you lost a 2-ranked team. So, I mean, really besides them, that's probably your biggest, worst team right now. Auburn on the rise.
Yeah. Let's just go and address that. I mean, we've talked about it last year. I know we said it 20 times, and we're going to say it 20 times this year. I promise you we will. But the state of Alabama basketball compared to where it was 8-9 years ago, maybe, I mean, 2019 was the Final Four for Auburn. So I don't want to say before anything after that, but, 2017, 2016, compared to what Alabama, when they were running out there with Avery Johnson Jr. playing on the court, and then you had the late days of Tony Barbie and Bruce Pearl with Simeon Bauer standing at 6'8", running the point guard position. I mean, how about our programs, Jacob Holman?
Man, I remember there was one year the Iron Bowl was a final score of 45-39.
And I think Auburn scored like 11 in that first half of that game, but then they ended up winning. Like, it was just that atrocious.
And that just shows you what, good coaching can do for a basketball program. And when an athletic department puts some interest into it, Alabama went from Anthony Grant to Avery. So, I mean, I remember I can go down through and list the days of watching Retno Bosahan and, like
Riley Norris.
Yeah, Riley Norris, who is Brian Hoxton is married to Riley's sister. So, it's full circle. But yeah, man, it's just crazy. The days of, looking at this schedule right here, or not even the schedule, but just all the teams you go through and you think about, you look at the game, like Cal said the other night in a postgame interview, there's really not any like ones that you can chalk down as a win, how people do. He compared it to the baseball schedule, which I thought was pretty cool. A lot of teams used to mark us both down as wins on the season. So it's nice to see where they've gotten. I mean, just looking right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 out of the top 25 are SEC teams. And there's 1, 2, 5 are in the top 25 or top 10. So
yeah. We were talking about Auburn, Alabama, but I mean, I can remember the days when it was just Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was just Kentucky. You chalked up Kentucky as a win, and then it was just a fight for whoever could get, the other 3 to 4 bids that the SEC was going to get, because they weren't going to be like an ACC that was going to get almost all their teams in, or Big East or Big 12 kind of basketball. I mean, it was just SEC was just fighting to get teams in. And now it's a gauntlet. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably say this again next year. I don't know if there's been a time when the SEC has been as strong, especially in our lifetime, than it is right now. And some of it that might be added to quality teams that, one of them might make the tournament. Maybe Oklahoma might. I mean, Oklahoma's got a great start so far, but I mean, you add probably two at least bubble teams to the conference, and it just gets deeper.
Yeah. adding to you about what you said about Kentucky, man, the days of Billy Donovan at Florida. You know, Scotty Wilbekin used to give me nightmares, man. That, you know, they were, it was always who's going to win at Kentucky or Florida. So, you know, it's awesome to see where this league has gotten in basketball. I mean, Missouri, who didn't win a conference game last year, just beat the number one team in the country this past week. So, you know, it's really cool to see where our teams have gotten, but just the SEC in general, when you're looking at maybe a 11-12 team conference bid.
Yeah, I think that's pretty easy to say right now. You said about how hard it was to win, and what Cal said, you know, you can't take any game for granted right now. I have South Carolina's schedule pulled up right here for conference games. They play 18 conference games, Jacob. How many of them do you think are quad ones?
I think it's like, what, 15?
It's 15 of the 18, and the other three are quad twos. You got a quad two versus Texas, a quad two versus Arkansas, and a quad two versus Texas A&M, which if you were on the road or a neutral site, would be quad ones. And Arkansas is not far. They're at 40 right now, and what is it, 1 through 39? Or no, it's 1 through 25 at home. So they're not far. You know, A&M's at 32, and Texas is at 60, so it's a little farther away. But if you flip those to neutral or on the road, then they play every single game as a quad one win.
Yeah, no, they don't have it. They don't have it easy. But I mean, nobody really does, right? And it was like we texted the other night. It's kind of tough to decide, you know, who do you pick to finish 16? Because right now you're like, man, none of these guys can finish 16. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, do you want to go from 16 to 1, or do you want to start with the awards?
Well, let's go 16 to 1. Okay. Probably going to have lesser talking points about 16, and then we get up to 1, we can spend a little bit more time talking on them. You want to do 16 teams, so you want to do 4 apiece and then keep going back and forth?
Yeah, that's fine. But just a disclaimer on my end, Wells and I have 11, I think 11 through 16, the same teams, just in a different order. And we, neither of us have really watched just the majority of some of these teams with the way the semesters and things have ended like that. So if we don't really have much to say, it's not because that we don't really want to. It's just we just genuinely haven't watched a lot of these teams and really known that they've played.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start it off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right now, I have LSU finishing 16. And, you know, that's not a knock to LSU. They have Cam Carter right now, who's averaging 17 points right now. And they're playing pretty good basketball. I believe they only have one or two losses, maybe just one. And I don't know right off the top of my head who that is to. I just didn't know who else to go with when it came to 16th, because I didn't want to put my money on Missouri finishing last again. And, you know, I respect, what is it, Coach McMahon? Is that right? Yep, Coach McMahon. But unfortunately, somebody's got to finish last, and I have LSU finishing 16th. I have Missouri at 15th, which before I did this, they had not beat Kansas. I did this a few days ago. Now they beat Kansas. Maybe I changed that around a little bit. But I'm going to keep them right now at 15. I'm going to have Vanderbilt at 14th. Vanderbilt was projected to finish last in conference play. They got rid of Stackhouse, but they started 7-0, 6-0, and they've slowly, and they've just been an okay team so far right now. So I'm going to keep them right there at 14, and then I'm going to do Georgia at 13. But Georgia can play too. They got one of the best freshmen in the SEC, so just luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah. For me, I'm right there with you with LSU at 16. Can't really give you a reason why. Looking at their schedule, they've played some, you know, they've played some Power Four teams. Or I guess I don't know if you call it Power Four in basketball, but you know, it's
Power Five because you count the Big East.
That's right. So, you know, they've played some teams like Kansas State and UCF. They also played Pitt. That's their only loss on the year is Pitt. and they beat Florida State, which, you know, don't really know how good those teams are. But I think you'll see when you get SEC play that it kind of slows down a little bit. And it's kind of too good to be true. So I'm going to go LSU at 16, followed with Vandy at 15. You know, their only loss, I think, came to Drake. I think that game was at home too. So,
I think that game
it was a tournament. You're right.
Right. I think it was the battle for whatever they call the Charleston tournament.
Yeah. The Shriners Classic.
Right. It was in the Shriners trap.
Yeah, championship game. So, I just feel like, when you get into the SEC, SEC slate and with a first year head coach, I just think it kind of goes down a little bit for them. 14, I'm going to go Georgia. I think Asa Newell gives them a chance to maybe turn that around. Mike White does have the know-it-all to be coaching in the SEC, so he knows kind of how that slate goes. And I think they have a chance. But I just see them kind of finishing toward the bottom. And then at 13, I got Missouri. Dennis Gates, redemption year. Maybe he can win a game or two this year in a conference. So, did just knock off number one Kansas. But I think I'm going to go Missouri to finish 13.
All right. Let's see, 12, I got Oklahoma. First year in the SEC. I haven't been able to watch much of Oklahoma. I do know they won. It was Battle for Atlantis. I watched them play a little bit versus Georgia Tech when they beat them in the SEC Challenge kind of thing right now. They haven't lost a game as of right now. They're one of the few teams in the just them and Tennessee are the only teams in the conference that haven't lost a game right now. But I just, for lack of not knowing much about them, I have them 12. I have 11. I have South Carolina. South Carolina does have the three losses, like Jacob said earlier. But outside of North Florida, they have been, I guess, quality losses, quote unquote. One of the toughest schedules in the SEC. But me and Jacob were both really low on South Carolina last year, and then they ended up finishing, was it sixth? I think because of the way the tiebreaker finished in conference play. And I guess I will preference when we're picking these. This is going to be conference record. So this doesn't necessarily like factor in their non-con losses and how they finish up with the seeding. I think me and Jacob have this just for like SEC tournament seeding when it comes to something like that. 10, Texas, Rodney Terry and them's first year in the SEC. They got probably, in my opinion, the best freshman in Trey Johnson playing right now. But again, haven't been able to watch as much. I know Auburn's second or third conference game is at Texas, so that's something I wish I could be there to see. But unfortunately, I do not have that oil Texas money to go out there and watch them play. And then 9, I have Ole Miss, which feels really low. Like Chris Beard would probably like beat me up or something like that if he saw me at putting Ole Miss at 9. But they got Matthew Morrell back, so we'll see how it goes. But right now, I'm gonna stick with them at 9.
Yeah, at 12, I've got South Carolina. Not respecting them again this year. Finished high last year. Colin Murray Boyles is back. Feel like they got a good chance to. I think they would have a chance to make a run. Now you don't have Michi, but think about Michi Johnson. He was a little streaky last year, so you kind of never know. So I'm gonna give South Carolina at 12. Oklahoma is at 11 for me. They are undefeated, like Will said. Next week, I think it is. They have they're in the Jumpman Invitational, which I think is just all schools that are sponsored by Jordan. They play Michigan, so that'll be a good test for them. Porter Moser was a coach at Loyola Chicago, and they made the runs and in the tournament that we all remember, Sister Jean and everything. So, I think Oklahoma has a shot. Did beat Arizona, who was ranked at the time, so I didn't have a chance, but going to kind of go lower with them just because they did their first year in the conference. At 10, I got Mississippi State. Josh Hubbard and company are pretty good. It was kind of tough picking some of these teams just because you think of – sometimes it's hard for me to think of or not think about how these teams used to be in the past and how they are now. Mississippi State's not necessarily the biggest name in basketball, but, I think Josh Hubbard and company have give them a chance to make a run, but I got them at 10. What's up?
Are you glad not to see Tolo Smith anymore? It's been forever since we've seen Tolo Smith in a Mississippi State uniform, not seen him in a Mississippi State uniform.
I hate it, but at the same time, I really don't, because he could always guarantee me at least 5 to 6 missed free throws a game, that and those would decide the game. So they
That's
would
true.
decide the game for you. So, Alabama likes foul trouble, love to foul guys, but I would gladly foul him because he's gonna miss at least 4 or 5, and those 4 or 5 points are what you're probably gonna win the game by. So hope he's doing well at State Farm. So, all right, and at 9, I got Ole Miss. I feel like they're just going to be one of those middle of the conference teams. Unfortunately, have to wear the road jersey in Nashville when it comes to that early Thursday morning start. But I got Ole Miss sitting at 9. Matthew Morrell and Chris Beard, I think, kind of keep in the middle of the pack.
All right, top half of the league. I got Mississippi State at 8. Like Jacob said, they got Josh Hubbard. Oh, absolutely electric. Probably he's one of the most electric players in the SEC, no doubt. They also have Cam Matthews back, who is like their version of the Draymond Green, score, rebound, assist, can just kind of do it all kind of thing. But I do have him finishing 8 because I'm kind of unproven outside of that, although I think Chris Strands is a great coach. And I have 7. I have Coach Cal and Arkansas, which still is a little weird to say right now. I've been able to watch a few of their games. They got Boogie Flan. They got a few Kentucky guys transferring in. They got DJ Wagner from Kentucky and all that kind of stuff. They beat Michigan the other night by 2-3, something like that. And when they were playing in was it the Jimmy V Classic, I think is what it was. So I'm going to have them with Coach Cal's first year finishing 7th, which is kind of ironic based on where they've been finishing when they let Musselman, quote unquote, left. So not much of an improvement in my opinion. And then I got 6. I got Texas A&M. Wade Taylor is still there, taking up shots. Buzz Williams will be out in his little vest guarding you, so they'll have 6 guys on the court. So I'm gonna give A&M the 6, and then I'm gonna have Mark Pope and the boys 5th with his first year in the SEC.
Yeah, at 8, I've got Texas. I think, like you said, with Trey Johnson having a shot to just maybe lead that team, and I think you had him as one of your best freshmen. So I think Texas at 8, newcomer, just kind of middle of the pack, and see kind of where they go. At 7, I got Texas A&M. I don't know if you said the words, and if possible, shot merchant Wade Taylor, the 4th. Man's going to shoot probably at least 20 shots a game. And Buzz Williams is going to have his jacket off by the first media timeout, with just his vest on. So I got Texas A&M at 7. Coach Cal in Arkansas at 6. And then at 5, I got Florida. Walter Clayton Jr., Alex Condon, think those boys are going to do a really good job. And Todd Golden, some things about him very early in the season or right before the season started, some things about him have been said. So maybe they're going to play for Todd, but Walter Clayton Jr. is legit, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is. So top 4 for me, the double bye. Well, is it still a double bye, or do they change it around? I gotta look at the SEC
I think
format.
it is a double bye because, I mean, everybody's going to make it.
So I'm gonna have Florida and Todd Golden. Will Reichard or Ricard? I don't know how he says his last name. Then you have, like Jacob said, Walter Clayton Jr. and Todd Golden, the boys. I feel like they are pretty confident if they are locked in. If you're keep up with Auburn, I mean, on Auburn Twitter, with SEC Hoops Twitter, they feel pretty confident about themselves. I believe they're 7th or 6th ranked in net or KenPom, one of them two right there. So they also haven't lost a game. So they've been playing pretty good basketball as of right now. So I have them 4th. I'm going to take Alabama to finish 3rd right now. I mean, Mark Sears, you got Grant Nelson, Cliff, you got my boy Aiden Holloway, you got LeBaron, how do you say his last name? Fallon, LeBron Fallon, as some people have said. I just, tough league. I think maybe some other years they win the league, but right now I got them 3rd. 2nd, I'm gonna take Auburn. I do believe Auburn is playing like the best team in the country right now. I do worry about guard play come late February, early March, a little bit. So that's why I'm gonna hesitate to put them first. Although I do think Jahni Broome is probably your player of the country. Player of the year right now. And then I'm going to take Tennessee to finish 1st. And although I have Tennessee finish 1st, I'm not confident in how their march is going to go just because of who their coach is, Rick Barnes. He will have a Barnes in March. You can write it down. But they got Chaz Lanier transfer from North Florida. Ziegler is back for his like 20th year. And Tennessee's tough right now. So that's my 1 through 16.
Yeah, I didn't think it's, I think it's really good, kind of tough because you just never know who's going to finish where, especially with the teams, how they playing, how they are now. At four, I've got Kentucky and Mark Pope, kind of not missing a beat about Kentucky basketball. I mean, the guy played there, knows what the tradition is like. I think he brings them back to where they've been. Three, I'm going to go Tennessee. I think Tennessee's legit. One through three for me was kind of a toss-up. I think Tennessee, I put them at three because I think defensively they're good and offensively they're good, but everybody's going to struggle offensively at some point during the season. So I think I just feel like maybe some teams can – I think the 2-1 and two will finish better than Tennessee will. Two, I have Auburn. I think, like you said, Jani Broome's probably playing like the best player in the country right now. If you – were to end the season today, he'd probably win the Wooden Award. And then at one, I got Alabama. Probably seems Homer bias. Whatever. I think they have the ability to, if they can just play a little bit better defense, I think Alabama has a chance to be best team in the SEC. So you've got, I think you've got a lot of guys that can score. It's not just, you know, it's not just Sears this year. It's not just Brandon Miller from a couple years ago. Now, it does hurt that you lose Latrell Raisel, probably the most consistent three-point shooter on the team. But I think some guys are going to step up. Houston Millett stepped up the other night against North Carolina, two big threes in his 6 minutes. So I'm going to go round it out, and that's my 1 through 16.
Yeah, I don't hate the Alabama pick. I do, like you said, worry about defense a little bit. Kentucky is first in the SEC. They average 91 points a game, but they are 15th when it comes to defense. They give up 70. And then Alabama averages second or third, averaging 89 points a game, and they are 16th in defense. So both teams like to run, like to score. Not so much defensively. I mean, right now Alabama's giving up the most points by 7.8, so 8 points right now. So, but you know, this is interesting, something I didn't realize today. Do you know who, take a guess at who do you think is second in the SEC in scoring?
Let's go Vandy.
It's Missouri.
Really?
89.4 points a game right now. Wow. They can score, which, you know, me and Jacob both have them Jacob has them at 13. I have them at 15. So that's a little scary kind of thing. But, you know, I don't know if it was baseball last year or basketball, but we did a lot of, you know, like a tiers kind of thing. Where do you think you would draw your line right now for, let's say, three tiers, top, middle, bottom?
I feel like for us, we have the same 1 through 5. I'd probably stop it at 5.
Okay, I like that. I think I was going to say that too.
We got it kind of different around 6 and 7 are the same, just in a different order. 10, yeah, it's, would you say 5? I mean, would you say 6 through 10 or 6 through 10?
I think that's fair. I think
6 through 12 and then 13 through 16.
Yeah, I think if you had to give me right now, I think 1 through 10 make the tournament right now.
Yeah.
And maybe 11 or 12. So, but I like drawing it right there at 10. All right, let's go through it one more time without stopping. Jacob has Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, Arkansas, A&M, Texas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Missouri, Georgia, Vandy, and LSU finishing 16th. I have Tennessee at 1, Auburn, Bama, Florida, Kentucky, A&M, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Georgia, Vandy, Missouri, and LSU finishing 16th.
Can't wait to see how poorly this is for us.
we might have to do a reaction video if we need something, some content in the summer or something like that.
For sure.
All right, I guess we can go ahead and hop into individual awards right now. Coach of the Year. I'm a little hesitant on this one. I have Todd Golden. Like Jacob said, there's some stuff been said about that, so that kind of scares me a little bit with his pick. But I didn't want to take the chalk with Rick Barnes, Nate Oates, or Bruce Pearl, just because if you're projected to finish 1 through 3rd and you finish 1 through 3rd, I really don't know if that warrants the Coach of the Year because you're where you're supposed to be kind of thing. I got Jani Broome being the Player of the Year. Like Jacob said, he's probably, if it ended today, he would be in the nation. So I think it makes sense to have him as SEC Player of the Year. I got Trey Johnson, Freshman of the Year, averaging 21 points a game for Texas. So we'll see if he can keep that up. And for newcomer of the year, I got Chaz Lanier, who is averaging, I think it's 18, the transfer from North Florida, guard for Tennessee. So That's what about you, Jacob? Who are your individual awards?
Coach of the year, I'm gonna go Mark Pope, Kentucky. I think I have him finishing in top four. I feel like if he finishes top four in his first year in the conference, he'll win coach of the year. Player of the year, I've got Walter Clayton Jr. I think I don't know if they base the award off of just SEC player the entire year. But I feel like Walter Clayton Jr. is really good. I didn't want to pick the same as you with Janai. That was my first initial pick, but I feel like second right now would be Walter Clayton Jr. I think Florida's got a real chance to be legit. And then freshman of the year, I'm going to go Asa Newell at Georgia. Like I said, I didn't want to pick the same, and so I figured that would be a good one to go with. And then newcomer, I went Jackson Robinson from transferred from BYU to follow Mark Pope at Kentucky. Feel like he was really good for BYU last year, so maybe a chance to show off in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It really is, kind of thing. Me and Jacob put a little list together for first and second team, so I'm gonna run through it pretty quickly. This was just as hard as the ranking them 1 through 16. But for first team, we have Janai, Walter Clayton Jr., Mark Sears, Chaz Lanier, Wade Taylor, and Colin Murray Bowles. And then for second team, we have Josh Hubbard, Ziegler, Trey Johnson, Grant Nelson, Abdu Thero, and then Cam Carter. So that's our first and second team preseason conference teams.
I'm a little bit more confident in first team. Second team where we might see some say some stuff, but you never know. There's always somebody that's gonna step up and come out of nowhere. So, but I think that was, that's fun. I can't wait to see what actually happens when conference play starts off on January 4th. So that wraps up episode 1 of season 6. If it just means less, we appreciate you listening and we'll see you next week.